The sweetest name on earth, the name of Jesus. We have been meditating on this name of Jesus for the past few weeks now. The name that is above all names, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Then when Jesus humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, the Lord highly exalted him, giving him a name above all names, that by at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a wonderful name that is. Oh, how I love Jesus. That name Jesus should be so dear name to us. As we conclude this series on Jesus, the name above all names, our prayer is that this name of Jesus may be so wonderfully working in our hearts and our lives, not only during this series, but for the remaining part of our life, that we may be able to continue to meditate on this name of Jesus. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, that he is in the midst of them. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, in the name of Jesus, when we gather, his presence is there. There are certain things that I just want to share as a conclusion of this particular J, Jesus' name above all names, before getting into the last letter, S. There is power in the name of Jesus. We're going to look at it from the scriptures. There is power. If you want to note it down, you can note down in the additional page that you have. There is power in the name of Jesus. By what power has this man been healed? Was asked in Acts chapter 3. By what name is this man healed? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, remember. There is authority in the name of Jesus. And secondly, we can pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will give to you. In my name, to be able to know that his name is so powerful enough that I can pray in his name. That is why every time we end our prayers or worship, we offer that prayer or worship in the name of Jesus. It is not for people to say amen that we say in the name of Jesus. If you don't say the name of Jesus, people don't know that they have to say amen. So I will say in Jesus' name. Sometimes we don't even think about the value of that last term. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. We have to praise him in his name. It says in Psalm 113, I just want to read a few verses. It talks about it in Psalm 113. If you want to note it down, you can note it down. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to praise the name of Jesus. Whenever we use the word Jesus, we need to praise the name of Jesus, because his name is name above all names. There is power in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. And for that matter, we need to be able to be ready to be persecuted for the name of Jesus as well. Because his name is so powerful name that some people don't like the name of Jesus. And that is when they are ready to be persecuted for his name's sake. That is the power of Jesus' name, that we, when we recognize it, we want to pray in Jesus' name, we praise Jesus' name, and we are ready to be persecuted in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus is a wonderful name, my dear. Mark Roberts wrote of a time when he visited the Capitol Hill building. It's not too far away from here. He went into the Capitol as a guest of the Congressman John Campbell. Listen to this carefully. Mark Roberts wrote a time when he visited the Capitol as a guest of Congressman John Campbell. As long as he was with the Congressman, he could walk freely around the Capitol, entering many areas that were reserved for authorized personnel only. Why? Because he was going with this Congressman, John Campbell. He was able to enter many areas that were reserved for authorized personnel only, reserved for members of Congress and their guests. He could enter those places not because of who he was or because of what he has done, but because of the Congressman Campbell who was with him. The name, the Congressman John Campbell, opened the doors. Just the name, Congressman John Campbell, suddenly the doors get opened. Why? Because it is because of that person, not anything that this man has done or who he was. So it is when we come before God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to be able to have that entry into the presence of God. In the name of Jesus, to be able to request God to answer our prayers. In the name of Jesus, it's all because of Jesus. It is nothing about us. Otherwise, there is no entry at all for that matter. It is because of Jesus, my dear. It is nothing about us. Nothing about us or who we are or what we have done. Paul Harvey, he mentioned about a three-year-old boy. He went to a grocery store with his mother. Before they entered, the mother gave certain instructions to the little boy. She said, "Now you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." You know, mothers, you know how you deal with children, even dads as well. So she put him in the child seat, and off they went and down the aisles in the grocery store. He was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. Seeing the chocolate chip cookies, he said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate cookies, please?" She said, "I told you not even to ask. You are not going to get any at all." They continued down the aisles, but in their search for certain items, she had to get back onto the same aisles, and she ended up in the same cookie aisle again. "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" the little boy asked. She said, "I told you that you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." Finally, they arrived at the checkout. The little boy sensed that the end was in sight, that this might be his last chance. So he stood on the seat and shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" He shouted out, "In the name of Jesus, can I have some chocolate cookies?" Everyone in the checkout lanes laughed and applauded. Do you think the little boy got his cookies? You bet. The other shoppers, moved by his daring, pooled their resources. Other people. The little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. May I tell you, we have a God who is ready to give us in the name of Jesus. If people could give, that little boy, he was so persistent. And he knew, in the name of Jesus, God can give me, or people can give. He never expected, for that matter, even the mother didn't expect. Everyone pulled in, and he got 23 chapters. I just want to share with you, or it was a lighter vein in which I mentioned, but there is power in the name of Jesus. We have a God who knows our needs, and with persistent prayer, trusting in him, he is able to give us. Maybe we are going through situations in our lives, asking God in Jesus' name, still waiting for answers to our prayers. Let me tell you, that doesn't mean that God is not listening to our prayers. He knows what to give, when to give. He's a God more than a father, an earthly father. With that, let us go into the last letter of this series, Jesus, Name Above All Names. For that, we'll read from Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. One of my favorite verses, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Let us all read this together. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." You can note down, you can fill in the blanks as well. Sometimes when you fill in the blanks, you can have more concentration. That's why we ask you to fill in the blanks. "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Let us read this in a Telugu language. "Mari evani valananu rakshana kalugadu ee naamamunane manamu rakshana pondavalana gaani aakasamu krinda manushulalo iyabadina mari ee naamamuna rakshana pondalemu anenu." Let's read this in the Urdu language. और किसी दूसरे के वसीले से निजात नहीं बख्शा गया जिसके वसीले से हम निजात पा सके. निजात मीन्स सैल्वेशन, आई सपोज. यस, देयर इज नो अदर नेम अदर देन द नेम ऑफ जीसस बाय विच यू मस्ट बी सेव्ड. सैल्वेशन, द वर्ड जीसस, दैट वर्ड जीसस मीन्स यशुआ इन द हिब्रू लैंग्वेज. In the Greek language, it is Yesus or Jesus. You can fill in the blanks again. The meaning of Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yehovah Shua means Jehovah saves. Shua means saving, or Jesus. Jehovah is my salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. That is the name for the meaning of the name Jesus. That is the meaning of the name Jesus. You know that wonderfully. Over the past month, we have been going through this season of Christmas. Just as a reminder once again, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. When the angel went to Joseph and spoke to him in a dream, in verse 21, the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I have a footnote for "he will save." And in that footnote it says, "He himself will save his people from their sins." I like that. Sometimes that little footnotes give a deeper understanding. "For he will save his people from their sins." Okay. "For he himself will save people from their sins." Ah, that gives more stress on that word "he." Did you know that there were a lot of people with the name Jesus during the time of Jesus? Even the Bible has people by the name of Jesus. I told you in the earlier as well. In my own life, I have seen people with the name Jesus. I got scared. And suddenly, very recently, I got an email from Jesus, because he became my colleague as well. One of my colleagues' name is Jesus. And I keep getting emails from Jesus. I be careful to open that email first of all, and then get into it. So there are a lot of people with the name Jesus. Even here in the Bible, if you read the New Testament, there are people with that name Jesus. For that matter, the Hebrew word Joshua, a lot of people have it in, even you know Joshua as well, as a name that is mentioned in the Old Testament. What does Joshua or Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. People put that name to tell that Jehovah saves. If somebody has that name Joshua, who is in our midst as well, or somebody, any friends that you have, their names are Jesus, especially Spanish people, they have their names, Jesus and all that. That name also means Jehovah saves. So what is so unique about this Jesus Christ? The uniqueness about this Jesus Christ is, notice this carefully, verse 21, "You shall call his name Jesus." If it stopped there, it could have been just another name. But there was a second part to it, my dear. You know what it says? "He himself will save." Just because a person has a name Jesus doesn't mean that that person will save. Because they just bear that name, that's all. But specifically the name Jesus that was given to the Son of God is to tell, it is not just a name, but the name, the meaning of the name is going to be fulfilled in this person. That is the uniqueness. I was really thankful to God that he has revealed me through that footnote, small footnote. He himself made me really focus on that small word. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Yes. How did Jehovah save? That Jehovah God, the New Old Testament God, who is called the I Am God, that Jehovah God came down into this world to save me. That is this Jesus. So unique, unlike anybody else who has that name. So whether it is the Old Testament Jehovah God or the New Testament Jesus, it is the same person, remember. Same person of God, The God the Father became a human being in order to save us from our sins. It is not that New Testament God is different from Old Testament God. It is the same God, the Father, who came down to save us as God the Son. I want to make it very clear, my dear. It is not to distinguish the fact, but the same Jehovah God saves. Jehovah saves. And how did he save? He saved people in the Old Testament days. And in the New Testament days, he came down into this world to save us from our sins. There is nothing to be able to say that the Old Testament time, he never saved. Jehovah saved. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves even in the Old Testament. A lot of people say, what will happen to those people in the Old Testament who never knew about Jesus? You have this question? A lot of people ask that question. But it is the same Jehovah who saved us. Don't try to say that, oh, Jesus. Yes, they are, you know, in terms of the function and the purpose, they had taken that role of being God, the Jehovah God and Jesus Christ the Son. But it is the same Jehovah who's saving us. He will save his people from their sins. I hope it is clear for us to focus our attention on this name of Jesus, who is the Jehovah who saves. Even in the worship time, we have meditated upon salvation. And we are continuing, even in this message also, about salvation. I'm sure many of us must have guessed what that letter S would stand for when we were going through J-E-S-U-S. J, joy to the world. Light of the world, that is enlightenment. Then sonship or adoption to be called the children of God. And then he came into this world to give us understanding to know the true God, the only true God, if you remember, last week. And today, last but not the least, salvation. Because the name Jesus means Yehovah saves. Who is this Yehovah? This Yehovah is the God who revealed himself as the I am God to Moses. And when Moses said, "What? When people ask me what your name is, what should I tell?" At the burning bush, he says, I am the Jehovah God. That Yehovah is the God whom we serve. And that God came down into this world to save us from our sins. And Jehovah saves means Jesus. Remember that. There are some important elements of understanding that you need to have when we look into this specific verse, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Please, I know you have the sermon notes where that particular verse is displayed clearly enough, but we are going to really get into this verse carefully enough. Acts chapter 4. There is a background. In what circumstance was this specifically mentioned, if you really think about it? There are certain things that you and I can be able to look at, and that is starting with Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. You know the song? There's a song also. And he asked for his alms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Wonderful songs. I'm thankful for my Sunday school times because I learned these songs in my Sunday school. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he say? Such as I have, give I thee. Where does it say that? In verse 6. I do not possess, 3:6, Acts 3:6. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? He had Jesus. He could understand the power of the name of Jesus more than gold and silver. What do you depend on, my dear? Most of the time we depend on silver and gold. How much is my bank balance? How much is my savings? How can I use this? How am I going to do that? No, more than anything, there is one thing that you should have, and that is Jesus Christ. Because in his name, there is power. And what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And then it says in verse 16, Peter gives his second sermon. In Acts chapter 2, he gives one sermon. In Acts chapter 3, he gives a second sermon, starting with verse 11 and 12. And then in verse 16, again he says, please read, Acts 3:16. And on the basis of faith, notice this, yes, in his name, wonderful, it is by faith, and it is the name of Jesus Christ that has strengthened this man. Not money, not silver and gold, not people, it is the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that we are meditating on this name of Jesus? And that has strengthened this man. And then he says, and the faith which comes through him, capital H. How does faith come? Where does faith come from? The faith comes through God. God is the one who has put that faith in that person to have the faith in order to be able to believe in the name of Jesus. Yes. That is the testimony that he's giving, saying the faith in the name of Jesus, the faith that comes from God. And then let us move on in chapter 4. Now that they were doing all of this, people did not like. When somebody gets healed, why don't people like? Shouldn't everyone be happy? No. Because the name of Jesus is so unique that there are some people, it says, they called Peter and John, Annas and Caiaphas in verse 6, and John the Alexander. They were in the high priestly descent. They came in verse 7. Please read. Whom did they place? Peter and John, yes. They began to inquire, by what power? They knew that there is a power that has caused this person to be healed. If money was used, nobody would have asked a question. If silver and gold was used, nobody would have asked a question. But they knew there is some power. And not only did they say by what power, they asked by what power? And then, by what name was this person? Have you done this? Because they are wondering as to what happened. And then in verse 10, Peter was telling these people, let it be known to all of you. He did not quietly say, I just did it in the name of Jesus and done with it. No, he wanted to let everybody know by what power or what name he was able to do this. Yes. By the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, he had to be very clear. By the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, so that there is no other Jesus he's talking about. But this Jesus who came down, Jehovah God who came down to save us, that specific Jesus, in the name of that Jesus, not any other Jesus. Because many other people have that name, Jesus. But there is so unique about this Jesus who is called the Christ. Yes, brother. Yes. Yeah. He made this statement, wonderful statement. Not only did he talk about how this person got better, he got the strength to get up, but also he mentioned about salvation. And when he mentioned about it, people could not stop. You know what they said in verse 17? They said, we understand this. What shall we do with this man? Verse 16, what shall we do with this man? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has happened through them is apparent. And all who live in Jerusalem, we cannot deny it. Verse 17. But so that it will not spread any further. So that it will not spread any further among the people. Let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. They wanted to make sure that this name would be totally nullified. You can't speak anything, but don't speak in Jesus' name. Many people are afraid to use the name of Jesus. Even when they do public prayers also, they are afraid to use the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus and they're afraid. They tell them, please do not use that word Jesus. Prayer, just say, God help me. Name of Jesus, sometimes they don't use it. Let us be very watchful of this fact that let it be known to all that in the name of Jesus. Verse 17 and then verse 18. Yes. Not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. You see this name of Jesus? If you focus, if you try to spend some time in studying God's word, keeping the small phrase in the name of Jesus. There's so much that talks about the name of Jesus. And even in chapter 5, verse 40. Chapter 5 and verse 40. So Gamaliel, at the Council of Gamaliel, again, they said, these apostles are doing things in the name of Jesus. They are spreading the word of God through the name of Jesus. They told them, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Again, you see, it is about the name of Jesus that people are unable to accept. And then in verse 41, important verse, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name, persecuted for Christ's sake. They are ready to be able to suffer shame for his name. Many times we are ready to suffer because of the things that we have committed, the wrongdoings that we have committed. But how many times can we look back and say that we suffered for the name of Jesus Christ? When we are told not to use the name of Jesus Christ, whom should we obey? Should we obey God or man? And to be able to suffer shame for his name. That was the incident that has happened. So I want us to go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, to go a little more into this particular verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. If we really look at it, it is a statement that is given as a negative way of being able to tell the positive. There is only one name by which you can be saved, he could have written. But he said, there is no other name. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men. There is no one else. There is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. This is something that each one of us should be very clearly understanding the statement. Rakshana, anything ever perna leda. There is salvation in no one else. Salvation from what? And all, we'll look at it. But I want to just share with you this salvation. Salvation from the eternal damnation, from the wrath of God, from the judgment of God. There is salvation from it. And that salvation is in no one else other than Jesus Christ. The first thing that you want us to note down in our sermon notes is, it is exclusive salvation. No one else, no other name. If you want to think about the word that can match to that phrase, no other name, it talks about exclusive salvation, exclusivity of the salvation that we have. Many people don't agree to this. Last Sunday also we were meditating on it. Yehovah Nijamaina Devudu, or the Lord is the true God, that they may know you, the only true God, John chapter 17 and verse 3. He had to specifically mention the only true God. Exclusivity about God and exclusivity about salvation as well. Salvation in no one else other than Christ. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. Sola Christos. In Christ alone there is salvation. No one else, my dear. And that, if you are not clear about it, maybe you need to recognize it. If you have been considering that, oh, Jesus is one of the ways to salvation, the Bible is very clear that there is no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. By which we can be saved. And this is not just the Old Testament or the New Testament concept. It is the same Jehovah God who came down into this world to save us. That's what we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Is it not the same Jehovah God who saves us? Yes. Let us look at that in Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61. Even in the Old Testament. Why do we need to refer to the Old Testament? Because New Testament is fulfilled has fulfilled the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 66. Please read verse 62, 62 and verse 1. From God only, from Him is my salvation. Verse 2. He only, notice this word, only, alone, exclusivity. He only is my rock and my salvation. Yes. Yes, and verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my salvation. There is no one else in whom I can trust. That same Jehovah God who is my salvation, as the psalmist David told in the Old Testament, the same Jehovah God who only is a salvation has come down into this world to save us from our sins. And that person who came down into this world as a human being, we call him Jesus because Jehovah saves. The same Jehovah God is saving us through Jesus Christ. Once and for all, the salvation is in Him. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11, any language. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. You can note down these references for your future meditation as well. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. Ledu, you see that exclusivity again? Even I am the Lord. There is no Savior besides me. What else do you want? What other confirmation do you and I need to have to be able to know that He alone can save? He alone can rescue. He alone can deliver me. And that same Jehovah God came down to save us. Jehovah saves. Jesus. Not anyone who has that name Jesus. But that one who came down into this world, God becoming man, is the only one who can save us. Because the same God who came down as a man. And that is what you and I should recognize. John chapter 14 and verse 6. By now you should memorize it with reference. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, except by me. What is this exclusivity? There is no way other way to have that eternal life other than Jesus Christ. The exclusivity. Even later in John chapter 10 also, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, will be saved. No other door. I am the door. And if anyone enters, John chapter 10 and verse 9, if you want to note down as a reference. John 10, 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. That is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one else comes to the Father except through me. Exclusivity of salvation. He is the only one who can save us. He is the only one physically who saved the people of Israel. And He is the only one who can save us from the eternal damnation. And that is what you and I should recognize. Why? Why is it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, because of the sinful nature that has come into this world. We are born in sin. And God cannot accept us with our sinful nature. We have wrath of God upon us because of our sinful nature. And there's only one who can save us, that is God Himself. He took the punishment on our behalf so that we may have salvation. That is what salvation is. So first thing, exclusive salvation. And second one, please note, essential salvation. What is this? These words, I don't know if you use it usually in your regular colloquial English, but these words are important for us to understand. Exclusive means unique, no one else. Essential salvation means there is a necessity for us to be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. For there is no one else. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we. Okay, please, one of us, could you please read Acts chapter 4? I want us to focus on that. Yes. By which we must be saved. Notice that small phrase. We must be saved. There is a necessity of salvation. Sometimes we don't focus on the small phrases. No, we must be saved. There is no other name, exclusive salvation. We must be saved, essential salvation. The Bible says that everyone must be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. That is what his desire is, that everyone should be saved. But he has given us a free will as well, which is causing us unable to have that clear understanding. And that is why he came to this world to open our understanding also. And still, we are getting blinded with the world. We are being taken away into this world. We must be saved, the Bible says. We must be saved. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus by night. Verse 7. What does it say? Meeru krottaga janminpavalani. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Notice that word. It is essential for us to be born again. I'm not asking that you must be born in a Christian family. It has nothing to do with salvation. Remember that. Each one of us. Let us be clear. We may keep telling my father was like that. My grandfather was like that. He was involved in that. Oh, I've been helping somebody in this ministry and that ministry. That has nothing to do with salvation, my dear. It has nothing to do with it. You must be born again. Again, this word born again, don't think that it is a denominational or certain group of people telling. Jesus said this. It is the words of Jesus. When somebody asks you, are you born again? Don't get offended. You must be born again. If anyone sitting here doesn't have that experience of born again, being born again, what does born again mean? Born from above. Born from above, not from the earthly way. Yes, we were born to our parents. And that was an earthly being born. But being born from above is born of the spirit. By birth, our spirits are dead. Even though our hearts are pumping, spirit is dead. And the only one who can renew our spirit to be alive is Jesus Christ. And when somebody says being born again, their spirits are alive. Their spirit can connect to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in them. That is what born again experiences. You must be born again. Don't be amazed. That's what Jesus is telling. Don't be surprised. When I said to you, you must be born again. A lot of people don't like this. For that matter, even the so-called nominal Christians, they feel offended. Huh? What do you think? I was born in this, you know, I'm a Christian family. And all that, no. That has nothing to do, my dear. If somebody is asking you, either they want to just be able to connect with you as a fellow brother in Christ. Out of concern, they may be asking you, don't get offended, but be happy and say, thank you. Thanks for asking me. Or if you're really not born again, ask them, what does it mean? The Bible says you must be born again. It is essential. It's not a choice. You are given a choice, but for us to have the experience of eternal life with God, it is essential. Do you see that? It is essential salvation. The faith that God is giving you in your heart, what are you taking the next step for? When Christ has come into the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, the Son of Man has come into this world to seek and save that which was lost. He has come into this world in order to give you understanding so that you can come to Christ and have that gift of eternal life. He's working in you to bring you to him. That is something that you and I should understand. It's like children. We can force our children, drag him and say, come, come, come. Or you can talk to them and say, this is what it is. This is what the situation is. I hope you understand it. I'll leave it to you. You want to come? Free will God has given us, but He is working with our free will. Otherwise, we will be dragged into heaven. You're not talking God. God is not trying to do that. He is giving us a clear understanding of who He is, that I am the true God. Help, try to understand what I'm trying to tell you. And when you are led by the Spirit of God working in you, He will enable you to come to Him. And that is why when somebody says, come to Jesus, it doesn't mean that you yourself are doing. God is working in you, but are you responding to that work that He's doing in you? Are you going after the things of this world when He's working in you? Otherwise, to be able to say, Lord, if it was for me, it is not that you have done something to come to Christ. No. Even having faith has nothing to do with what you have done. He is working in you in order to be able to help you to come to Him. So that I can say, yes, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. How are you able to say that? Not because of anything you have done. Oh, I have received. No. Christ has worked in me so that my heart was changed and I have received Him as my personal Savior. That is what it is. Okay? So, essential salvation. And finally, the third one out of in this particular list is eternal salvation. We have been meditating on it during the worship service also. Eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Please read. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Having been perfected, the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. When He is working in you, are you obeying His voice? Are you obeying His voice? That's the question that you need to answer. If God is working in you, are you still disobedient to the voice of the Lord? Obey Him. He is the author of eternal salvation, or source of eternal salvation in some other translations it uses. Eternal salvation. The salvation is eternal, my dear. It is not, yes, on a daily basis, He's been saving us from the situations that we are going through, no doubt about it. That day by day salvation is for us to have eternity. Eternal salvation. Remember, I hope you will be able to remember these three E's triply. What are the triply? Exclusive salvation, essential salvation, and eternal salvation from Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, though we are referring to other scriptures related to eternal salvation. Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us. Save us. So let us note down the next three points quickly enough. When we say Jehovah saves, or Jesus, He saves us from the penalty of sin. Penalty of sin. Please note it down. What is a penalty of sin? What does sin mean, first of all? Sin is something which is lawlessness. Anything that we are not obedient to what God wants us to do. And that sin is not just the sin of commission or omission, but is a sin by nature as well. By nature, we are sinners. That's you and I should recognize that by birth, we are sinners that has come from the Adamic situation that we were in, that we have taken up that. And that particular sin, there is a penalty to sin. We already saw that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where it says, the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Please read. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Yes, it says, just as through one man sin entered into the world, if you read Genesis chapter, the first three chapters, and then death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Very clear. Wonderful verses that are mentioned in the scriptures. The death, the penalty of sin, or the wages of sin is death. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the second death, or the eternal death, eternal hell. I don't know how many times we hear this word, hell. Let me tell you, it is real. Hell is real. For those who are not having that personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, there is eternal hell, eternal destruction. The wrath of God is there. But God wants to save us from that penalty of sin. And Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us from the penalty of sin, that is eternal hell. The penalty. That penalty is taken away the day when we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When He works in our hearts by faith, we come to Him and say, Father, forgive me of the sins that I have committed. Lord, by nature I am sinful. Please cleanse me from all my sins. The penalty of sin He has saved us from. Secondly, He saves us from the power of sin. Okay, the penalty is taken away. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. We meditated on that as well. Yes. Then there is no, if there is no condemnation, why am I still struggling with sin? For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we are still in flesh and we keep struggling with sin. Why? Because of the fleshly nature that we are in. The penalty is taken away, but the power of sin still lies within us. We keep struggling. We keep struggling in our relationship with each other. Husband says something to wife, or wife says something to the husband. Suddenly, we get angry and all those things will keep popping out. The power of sin. God wants us to save us from the power of sin that is called sanctification. On a daily basis, He saves me on a daily basis. Lord, save me from the power of sin. Save me from the power of sin, the temptations that are coming in my life, the little temptations that are causing disasters in my life. Save me from the power of sin. First of all, to save you from the penalty of sin. And second of all, from the power of sin, which on a daily basis He's doing. And third and the final is saving from the presence of sin. That is called glorification. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. If you want to have that kind of theological terms, that is fine. But for a clarity's sake, for each one of us to understand, He was the one who saves us from the presence of sin. He wants to take us into His fold, giving us glorious bodies where we won't have this fleshly body anymore. When we leave this earth, that is when He is completely saving us out of the presence of sin in our lives. In eternity, we will spend in eternity where there is no presence of sin in heaven. Salvation is not only the day when you are saved, but it is a daily salvation and eternal salvation. I hope you will understand this. Remember these three P's also. Penalty, power, and the presence of sin. You must be saved. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, the jailer saw Peter and the apostles and he asked this question. Peter and Silas, who was there. In verse 30, Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, what did he say? He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? You must be saved. Yes, I know I must be saved. But what must I do to be saved? So the Lord is working in his heart. Maybe already the Lord has worked in his heart to soften his heart to ask this question. He saw the way in which Paul and Silas. When Paul and Silas were here, the Lord enabled him probably to understand. That is why God kept people to explain what is salvation. God could directly talk. Why are you and I here to tell others about salvation? Because God is working in their hearts and they'll come and say, brother, sister, what must I do to be saved? And what will you say? Come to church, or I don't know, I will see. No, you should know the answer. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. 2018 calendar verses. This time we have 12 pages, not 6. Every verse, and the main verse, relates to salvation. The Lord has a purpose to focus on salvation as well in this year. And the first verse is for January, Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. What will you believe? Believe in Lord Jesus. Okay, I'll believe. What?
Believe what?
That Jesus is Jehovah saves. He saves me from my sin. He's the one who has cleansed me from my sin. When I come to him, when he's worked in my heart to come to him, he has died for me on the cross of Calvary and took the punishment for my sin. He took the penalty for my sin. He's the one who's protecting me from sinful lusts that I'm going through on a daily basis. And he's the one who will save me from the presence of sin. In the year 1988, 30 years ago, there was a young man who was born in a Christian family. He was going to Sunday schools and he was listening to what the salvation is. Sunday school teachers were teaching clearly enough what is salvation, but they never forced upon him. And the day came in one of the gospel meetings that he understood who this Jesus Christ was. The Lord opened his heart. He has been hearing, but he was not able to really understand. The Lord opened his heart and he openly went forward and said, I want to have this gift of salvation in my life. That was not the day that everything has changed in his life. During the course of time, as the days and months went by, he understood what the salvation was. In the following year, with the assurance of salvation that he had, he witnessed in the water baptism as well. And then there was a point of time later that he rededicated his life and saying, Lord, wherever you want, you will take me. For the remainder of my life, I will serve you. This happened in the year 1988, January 16th. And that person is none other than me. Jesus saved me. There was no miracle that had to happen in my life to be saved. There's no need for a miracle to happen in my life other than to know who this Jesus is. 2 days from now, I will complete 30 years since I have received Christ as my personal Savior. As a young man, young boy, the Lord has opened my heart to receive him as my personal Savior. Salvation. Jehovah saves. More than my birthday. Yes, we all celebrate birthdays. To remember the day when you're born again. The day when you have really understood who this Jesus is. I'm asking you, are you born again? Are you born again? Are you saved? What is your answer? We don't know what will happen to our lives. We don't know what our end is. And my desire and prayer is everyone sitting here and everyone too who's listening to this sermon may have that experience of salvation from Jesus Christ. Because there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to any man by which we must be saved. I hope you will memorize this verse. And you will have the experience of salvation in your lives. You will have the assurance of salvation to the extent of being able to openly say, Lord has saved me through witnessing in water baptism. And to be able to say, Lord, I want to serve you all the days of my life. I want to be involved in your ministry. What is your calling unto me? I tell you, there's no greater joy than to walk with the Lord. The things of this world, the jobs of this world or the money of this world is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Nothing compared to Jesus Christ. He knows what to give, when to give, and how to give the earthly things. He's our earthly, heavenly Father. If earthly fathers are so concerned about us, doesn't our heavenly Father take care of us? But you seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, and all other things will be added unto you. If we forget the focus on it and focus on the things of this world, we need to question where we are. So may we all have that experience of salvation. If any of you sitting here doesn't have that experience, you've been hearing. If the Lord is opening your heart to understand who this true God is, my dear, I tell you, do not neglect the salvation. Hebrews. Which verse is it? If you can help me out. Hebrews 2:3. Please read, brother. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglecting. Are we neglecting that great salvation? If the Lord is working in us, what is making us to neglect that great salvation? It is a gift of salvation. It's the garments of salvation. One of our brothers was worshiping. It is a great salvation as well. Don't neglect that salvation of God that He wants to give you and I. May the Lord enable us to have this experience. Do not neglect, my dear. Do not neglect. How can we escape otherwise? May the Lord bless this word.